The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
In 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to the Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
What's going on, listeners? It's Tuesday night, and we are here to talk Rawcast. That show that comes on Monday night on USA for 3 hours. And you'll be sitting there wondering, is this show going to be over anytime soon?
Yes, the chore that has become Monday Night Raw since the draft, becoming increasingly more and more of a task and a duty to get through this show the whole 3 hours. Luckily, there's YouTube and Hulu for the parts of the shows that I fall asleep on, which is
especially for me. Last night the Ravens were playing, so I'm sitting here like,
yeah, they better grab your attention quick, right?
No, they said Raw had the lowest ratings. Had their lowest ratings last night.
Yeah, I can see why. I mean, that show started out pretty ugh. That was on TV last night.
People was like, "Oh, Lamar Jackson's playing Monday night. Guess where we're going."
Exactly. You've gotten to the CSPN. We are the Rawcast brought to you by the CSPN Network. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also find us through your podcast apps on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, all of those usual suspects. All you have to do is search for the WrestleCast - the CSPN. Look for the logo with the WrestleCast sign being held by the New Day.
New Day.
So this Sunday, it's TLC, the official.
And we don't mean T-Bar's Left Eye and Chili either.
But they have inspired our hashtag, because this is the hashtag No Scrubs Cast live tweet.
Yeah.
So please use that hashtag No Scrubs Cast to share your commentary with color on this Sunday's TLC event. Also, if you're tuning in early, hashtag say no to pre-shows to share your commentary with color on the pre-show for TLC. But like we do every time there's a pay-per-view, we preview it by playing Who You Got. So myself, Mo, and Miss Jade to the Max will be your contestants this Sunday for Who You Got.
Yes.
For all the bragging rights, as Miss Jade to the Max is trying to redeem herself from the last pay-per-view. I'm trying to get more than one right this time. Queen Mel Mindy is not in the building this time, so she will not be going a perfect 6 for 6.
We can't have the queen up on there this time.
So she's going to give somebody else a chance to win. You know,
she swept that whole card, and we was just sitting there like,
yeah, I mean, I don't blame her. Go out on top. I mean, you can't do any better than that. Why?
You're right, exactly. You
know, why come back? It's kind of like the theory of why Mos Def and Talib Kweli have never made another album together. They're like, we already made a classic. There's no topping it. So we just won't do it again.
Nope.
So that takes us to the card. As we have it here on Monday, there'll probably be a couple more matches added. They're thinking that Jey Uso may wrestle Daniel Bryan in on the card as well. It hasn't been announced, but this first match that we're going to preview, Street Profits versus Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, hasn't been officially added to the card yet, but by the time SmackDown ends on Friday, it probably will be. So, Mo to the underscore Reese, who you got? The Champs, the Street Profits, or Ziggler and Roode?
Oh, Champs definitely retaining. I mean, there's no way they – I don't see them taking the titles off of Street Profits this quick. And I definitely just want to see them have a nice, lengthy reign. And Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode has been giving them quite the competitive spirit on SmackDown and everything. So, but while they've been doing that, Street Profits are going to retain. And I just hope they don't have no plastic cups shooting out in the middle of the match, because no.
You didn't like the middle of the match?
I like to have little halftime shows. Like, what? Right. No, don't do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Street Profits are going to win this as well. That's the one thing that kind of SmackDown hasn't really done a good job of since the draft, is kind of established more than one tag team contender. They need to, you know, put Nakamura and Cesaro back together. They need to kind of maybe Otis and Chad Gable, once they get their stuff together, they'll be in the tag team mix. But we need a few more tag teams over on the SmackDown side to for the Street Profits to have a, you know, some good feuds with, and you know, tag team matches, even if it's not for the belt, they could at least have a couple of four teams, you know, kind of right. Go around robbing with each other, just to kind of keep the show moving, keep the paces of the matches up, entertainment value a little bit higher. But I agree with you with the Street Profits. Next up, Raw Tag Team Championship match, The New Day, Kofi and Xavier Woods, taking on the Hurt Business in the form of Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin for those Raw Tag Team titles. Mo to the underscore, who you got?
So, leading up to this, I was thinking, you know, we would see a title change happen, but with Cedric Alexander getting very, very cocky in how the results have played out, I'm going to say New Day retains. That cockiness is going to cause him and Shelton, Cedric and Shelton, to lose in the long run. So,
all right, you got the New Day. I'm going to go with the Hurt Business on this one.
Gotta go for the win.
That's the reason why I think they're going to win, is because Cedric has gotten this new, cockier, meaner, arrogant attitude, and it's going to put him over the top.
Okay.
A lot of tag team matches on this, as we talk about them not having a lot of tag teams, but a lot of tag team matches on this particular card. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, the women's tag team champions, they're going to face off against Asuka, and be due to what happened on Monday Night Raw, a partner to be determined later for the women's tag team titles. So, who you got?
I'll say Shayna and Nia retain. Rumblings. You know, a lot of fans thinking that this is going to be the return of Charlotte Flair in this match. So that could be the to be announced partner right there, but I'm going with Shayna and Nia.
If Charlotte does return, that loud pitched shrill you hear in the middle of our live tweet will be coming from Shaolin Shogun, aka Sean.
Yes.
It will be a audience of one, though. What's up, Shaolin Shogun? We kid because we care. I'm going to go with the champs as well. I just don't see, Asuka walking around with tag team title and the women's title. I mean, we could have just kept going on with Bayley and Sasha if that was the case.
Yeah, we could have done that. Continue that storyline.
Right, right. So I see the champs retaining there. What are your thoughts on just how they've been positioning Asuka in this women's division on Raw since the draft, where she's now become more of a supporting player than the main player?
So I said this in the live tweet last night. I said Asuka could have had her could have had, you know, her own story with the focus being on the Raw women's title, and you know that's not the case here. She's just being thrown into this tag team story with Lana and with the whole Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. So it's like they could have put the focus on the Raw women's title. You know, you have some people, some competitors there and everything, but they chose not to. So it's disappointing just to see that she's not the focal point. That's not the focal point. She's basically, like you said, it's supporting. Like with Lana getting her pushed and everything, she's basically playing second field to her and everything, supporting, being her support and everything.
Yeah, just a weird last 2 months that Asuka's had ever since Clash of Champions with that great match against Sasha. She just hasn't really had a lot of focus on her, at least not on Monday Night Raw, being the women's champion that she is. Next match, the two most sadistic people in WWE, especially on Raw at the moment. The Fiend is going to face Randy Orton. This doesn't have a stipulation to it, so this is going to be just a straight-up wrestling match. So it should be slow and plodding, and the Fiend will probably break out some wacky cartoon hammers or something like that. But who you got? Bray Wyatt or Randy Orton?
Wow. This is a toss-up, to be honest. I'll go with Randy on this one.
All right.
Randy Orton.
Most three dangerous letters in all of professional wrestling, RKO. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with The Fiend. I'm going to take a chance here and go with The Fiend. I will have to say, though, without Alexa Bliss being a part of this story the last couple of weeks, it's kind of lost a little bit of its interest for me. I was really interested and intrigued by what Alexa Bliss was doing with her character work. And ever since we saw Randy Orton use her as a pawn to draw The Fiend out, she hasn't really been a part of any of the last two Monday nights. So
she's focusing on her second career.
Oh, yeah. She's out here trying to become a thespian, get them credits. I'm telling you, man. People out here, they start to getting smart, man. Because I'm telling you, you can't get into your late 20s as a wrestler or enter your early 30s as a wrestler without no insurance. And so, you know what I'm saying? If you can get offered roles on television or in movies or on TV or series, Netflix series or whatever, and get you that Screen Actors Guild insurance, man, you got to take it. Because you do like two or three films and you get it, and then you automatically, like, you have it. You have enough credits where you just get it.
But here's a sidebar. I think it was CM Punk. He was on Renee's podcast, and he was saying how when he was there, WWE wouldn't tell them of the
movie
role,
yeah,
opportunity they were getting, things like that, and you know, I guess WWE wasn't trying to, they don't, you know, they see how so many of their other stars, you know, go run off and go off and leave and do bigger, better things, you know, and it's kind of crazy how, well, Sasha, she was on Hot Ones, you know, the show where they eat the hot wings with the hot sauces and everything. And she said she did her appearance on there. The guy from the producer, from the executive producer on The Mandalorian was like, hey, you know, I want you to be a part of, you know, the show and everything. And that's how she got her role for the audition. She had an interview this week herself. But she said that she got that without doing the audition and everything, and boom, there she is. So, you know, it's kind of like, I think somebody had said, you know, that saying, you know, do something and ask for forgiveness later, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you want to do, you know. If you don't want to be pigeonholed and just stuck into that in that wrestling rut for the rest of your career, you want to be like, okay, I'm going to go out here and do it. Be like, hey, I have this opportunity to do this. Because, you know, if you go up and ask them, they're going to say, no, you can't do that, nothing like that. So,
and as Chris Jericho said, Steve Austin said a bunch of times, wrestling is way harder than making movies and shows, because you get so many chances to get it right with movies and shows, whereas in wrestling you have one chance, you know, most times, as far as your performance goes in the ring or your before the, you know, pandemic with your promos and things like that. So they say that coming from a wrestling background going into Hollywood, it's much easier for them than it would be for somebody else who was coming from Hollywood trying to get into the wrestling business. So, but yeah, man, I mean, you know, like I said, you start these bumps and wear and tear and injuries start stacking up, man. You got to start thinking, you know, I need some of this, you know, these bills not to come out directly out of my pocket. At least let me get somebody to pay for some of it. Since Vince, you know, only if you get injured do they look out for you. But, you know, but you got to have like a major surgery. If you just have aches and pains and need the chiropractor every month, you know, they're not paying for that.
Not at all. Hence the independent contractor status.
Next up, speaking of the star of The Mandalorian, it's Miss Sasha Banks, your SmackDown Women's Champion. She's facing Carmella. So, Mota the underscore, who you got?
Oh, champ retains. They better not take this title off of Sasha, because they don't want to see the rage of Black Twitter.
Yes, I am with you as well. I'm saying the champ retains. Sasha Banks going to defend her title for the second time in a row. And yeah, I'm here for it. Next up, we have a TLC match for the Raw, or I always want to call it the Raw title because it's red, but the WWE Championship, where Drew McIntyre will defend the title against AJ Styles. Tables, ladders, and chairs. Mo to the underscore. Who you got?
Drew's going to retain. I don't see him losing it to AJ. It's going to be a great match, I'll say that, but Drew's going to claymore AJ into Omos and climb the ladder and retain his title.
All right. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say that Drew is going to retain as well. Do you think that they can reach the level of Roman and Drew from Survivor Series, which turned out to probably be, for my estimation, match of the year in WWE?
Yeah. Roman and Drew was definitely on another level. They probably will have a good match, but Well, you never know. So we'll have to see.
AJ Styles in that type of situation where he's going to guaranteed get his 20 minutes to go and get warmed up. Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a match.
Definitely.
And we have our second TLC match, and this time it's going to be for the Universal Championship, as the head of the table, Roman Reigns, takes on Kevin Owens. Mo to the underscore, who you got?
Roman's going to retain, but I think there's going to be some shenanigans involved. I see shenanigans surrounding this match.
Yep, I have Roman as well. Probably a little bit of main event Jey Uso popping up here.
Main event Jey.
getting in the mix. But yeah, it should be an excellent match. They've done such a good job building the stories. Just like you said, Roman, like you said on the dark match, Roman has just taken everything up to such a different level with storytelling and the character work. And so now all his matches, the builds are very, very good, and they have a lot of interest going into the actual matches. And now, even as a heel character who doesn't do nearly as many things, his matches are delivering as well. So, I mean, everything is just on the upside when it comes to Roman right now.
Okay.
He's so hot. Before we get into the review of Monday Night Raw, this is time for the Mo Meltzer segment of the program. Do you have any news for us this week?
So the whole thing with the talent being sent down to the PC center. So basically, he I guess they're trying to spin it and saying it's not to be look at it as saying it's the most. This is like Vince doesn't like their skills or whatnot. But I guess they want them to be prepared for when they do get a push, they can be ready. Like, he's basically trying to say that Keith Lee isn't ready.
I don't think he likes how laid back Keith Lee is. I think he wants Keith Lee to be more raw, raw, like a dungeon dragon. But, you know, Keith Lee is, you know, he's Fraser Kramer. He's intellectual and he's smooth and he talks with this cadence and everything.
Right. So he wants to be a monster.
Yeah, I think that is what Vince wants to try to get out of him is that like that night after Karrion Kross threw that fire in his face and he cut that promo on NXT that next week.
Yeah,
when the book ignited in his face and he came out that next week or 2 weeks later and cut that promo and he was all big mad. I think that's what Vince wants from him all the time. That's the only time I've actually seen Keith Lee like highly upset.
Yeah, so Vince basically wants him to be that monster and everything. And, you know, we see Keith Lee style and it's like, we like Keith Lee the way he is and everything. You know, being shown that he has intellect, he has a comedic timing and things like that. But what else? So I guess so you say last night's Raw script was I guess they did some rewrites for like time constraints and everything. But
for the most part, it was as was.
Yeah. So the whole, when we saw Keith Lee and Miz, Keith Lee versus Miz and Morrison, it was supposed to be a one-on-one match. And then it became a two-on-one handicap match. So I guess they're trying to use that to build his, I guess this might be his thing with Miz going forward. That might be his
program
going forward. Got some Retribution and Ricochet things going on. Glad to see Mace got the win last night. Well, we'll talk about that when we get to the review, but
AKA I guess D.O. Man.
Yeah. So I guess they're still trying to get him to join the group. Mm-hmm. Overall, that's their whole focus. They want Ricochet to be in the group.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, for what though?
I mean, personally, I would have much preferred him just be a part of the Hurt Business.
Exactly. I was like, just don't be the Hurt Business and let him cut heel promos and
dress up in a suit just, and be cool.
Yeah, put him in a suit. Don't put him in no
whatever.
So now they say
whatever personality and coolness that he has, MVP would be able to bring it out of him.
All right, so now it's I guess WWE writers are asked to list some underutilized superstars who could shine, and a couple of lists included Cesaro, who shouldn't even be mentioned in this conversation.
He should be Cesaro,
but he should be like a main player somewhere in the company, not just whatever. Angel Garza, Chad Gable, your girl Peyton Royce, and Carmella.
Pepe,
yeah,
most improved wrestler on the roster.
They got her doing. She's doing. She got a main event storyline with Lacey Evans. Her and Nikki Cross.
Watch this main event. Keith Lee debuted on main event last week too. But who the fuck is watching that?
He debuted the main event.
Yep.
Oh wow.
Remember, he wasn't on Raw last week.
He wasn't?
I don't think so. I think he might have had an interview segment with Sheamus, but that was it.
Yeah, wow. See, that's what I mean. They just, see? This is how much of a chore this show is. This is how much of a chore this show is now. I'm sorry, listeners. I mean, normally I try to give the benefit of the doubt, but they've been throwing us bones and expect us to feed off of that, and we cannot do it.
Yeah, man, they have definitely since Survivor Series, they have definitely pulled a parachute on Monday Night Raw. Man, this thing has been dragging for the last like 2 weeks especially. It just hasn't been that much to keep you entertained, as they would say. But nonetheless, we're gonna dive into it because The Miz is in the middle of the ring for some story time. He wants to read us The Nightmare Before TLC. AJ is in the ring and asks for the spotlight to be placed on his friend tall Bruce Leroy. But Miz snaps and the spotlight goes off. Miz continues his horrible poetry and the spotlight shows Morrison dressed as Mel Gibson playing William Wallace. We get some theater with AJ stabbing Morrison in the middle of the ring. AJ and Morrison overact to all hell as Miz attempts to continue the reading. Miz ends his story with Miz cashing in and taking the title from AJ. The lights go on as Miz and Morrison and AJ argue about making the ending of the story better. Sheamus says the community performance theater was slightly entertaining, but Sheamus wants to fight with his fists. AJ says, if Sheamus won't be a part of the solution, then he is a part of the problem. Sheamus thinks about it, turns to AJ, and says he prefers to be part of the problem. AJ says they don't have to do their match now. They can wait till later. AJ throws a Christmas tree at Sheamus. Then Sheamus throws a gift at AJ. So that leads us right into Sheamus versus AJ Styles. Sheamus hobbles over to AJ in the corner. He hits a hard right hand, then lifts AJ with the fireman's carry. Sheamus climbs the corner. He struggles because, of course, his bad knee, but he makes it to the second rope. AJ gets off of his shoulders. He clips the leg. Then AJ stacks Sheamus up in the corner for the 1-2-3. As AJ Styles gets the win over Sheamus.
So going back, so that AJ really have to jack Seth Rollins talking about if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. I mean, I know Seth is out on paternity leave. You know, he got his PTO time and everything, but did he really have to jack that man? Like, we didn't hear him say that this, you know, not too long ago on Raw and SmackDown. Like, come on now.
Hey, man, he ain't here to claim it, so it's not gimmick infringement.
It's not.
What'd you feel about the theater, the acting of the Nightmare Before TLC?
I'll just quote Sean on this and say this shit was horrible, because we were, I was watching that shit and I was like, you know what, this is why the ratings are in the toilet now, and it's swirling, you know. It just wasn't good. I hated it. I hated it. I mean, I understand, but it's at the same time, I think Morrison did the whole, did this bit before. They showed it on SmackDown and everything, and I was like, they showed a picture from him being on SmackDown dressed the same way, and I was like, I said, I guess.
Yeah, like we've said a lot of times, man, just a very disappointing second run here by John Morrison. Just how hot he was coming back into the company from his Lucha Underground and TNA stints and his independent, just work. He was really right. Coming in with a lot of buzz, but, I mean, he has really done nothing in the year that he's been back. It was lukewarm when he came back at Royal Rumble, and it's been kind of lukewarm all the way through.
Yep.
AJ talks some shit from the outside of the ring. Sheamus reaches through the ropes and pulls on AJ's hair. That's when tall Bruce Leroy pulls Sheamus down, locking his legs in the ropes. AJ kicks Sheamus in the chest over and over. That's when tall Bruce Leroy grabs a chair, hands it to AJ, who attacks Sheamus over and over with it, then caps it off with a chair shot to the knee, and finally one more. A ref runs down to stop AJ. AJ's music hits. AJ grabs a chair and gives Sheamus a few more chair shots, just for good measure.
That was some hell shit. That was definitely some hell shit right there.
Some more heel shit. The Hurt Business. They're walking by catering where a crew member has an original bro hat, is eating a bro nut. He says he found the hat and next to the box of donuts. They shove him around, then Lashley grabs him and says milk goes good with donuts, and he pours milk over the head of the crew member and, unfortunately, himself. He got the old pinstripe suit all messed up. That's when Sarah comes up for an interview. She says she wants to ask MVP about his match with Riddle. MVP says Riddle can't even form a single coherent sentence. Riddle is a tremendous athlete, but he's dumb. MVP says what she should be asking is about the unstoppable team, the Hurt Business, who will send the New Day limping into a new day. That's when Riddle walks up to New Day and Jeff Hardy. He has an idea. They all miss Big E, so he's thinking Jeff teams with the New Day with Bro E in their corner. Kofi is okay with it. Jeff and Riddle talk about being high and offer Riddle the chance to come out with him.
Yeah, but he said Bro E?
Mm-hmm, Bro E.
Why? So another Mo Meltzer sidebar
tidbit.
Riddle has a fan in Vince McMahon.
Well, that's good. At least he's got somebody back there who likes him, because apparently nobody else does.
Right. So I guess Vince doesn't understand the whole bro, but he thinks it's silly and funny. So, hey, he's in Vince's good graces now.
He probably is like, why does my office always smell so funny when he walks out?
He's like, what is that odor?
Why do I always have a craving to go to catering whenever I'm around my room?
Right. Yeah, but A lot of fans were kind of, I seen a lot of talk where people were kind of saying, you know, with Jeff and his substance issues, why would you pair him up with somebody like Matt Riddle? And I was like, I see the argument here, but it's kind of a reach, because probably a lot of things were going on in wrestling that could trigger people, and they've been working.
I'm pretty sure that would be the one substance WWE wouldn't mind Jeff Hardy having a relapse on. It's like, all they're going to do is want to sit down somewhere and eat a bunch of Cheetos. Yeah, that works. That works. At least he'll be safe and healthy that way. Kofi, Xavier Woods, and Jeff Hardy taking on the Hurt Business in the form of Lashley, Cedric Alexander, and Shelton Benjamin. Waistlock from Cedric. It gets reversed. Tag to Bobby Lashley. Twist of fate to Cedric, though. Lashley comes in. He lifts Jeff up. He tries for the full Nelson. Jeff escapes and runs into the corner. Lashley rushes the corner. Of course, Jeff moves, and Lashley runs right into the post. Jeff goes to the top, but Cedric Alexander trips him up. Lashley catches Jeff, puts him into the Hurt Lock, and Jeff Hardy has to tap. So the Hurt Business are victorious.
Yep, Hurt Business is on that win streak. Well, yeah.
Continuing their winning ways.
Yeah.
Love to Hurt.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Love to Hurt.
I wonder if MVP is still billing the WWE for their services.
If he's smart, he definitely is. If he's smart.
Right.
Yeah, you could tell that that this show might have had some time constraints just because of how many people they started fitting in these matches. When's the last time you saw like a 6-man tag on Monday Night Raw?
Exactly.
Lana is backstage with Asuka by the gorilla position. She says she is feeling confident and strong for TLC, but she's scared to death about tonight. Asuka says Nia is scary, but even though Lana is scared, she will still go out there and face Nia, right? That makes her the bravest person Asuka knows. She is proud to be Lana's partner. Now go out there and beat Nia Jax. So Asuka out here being the hype man for Lana. And, did not have this coming for my end of the year WWE bingo card on storylines that we would be in the midst of right now. So that leads us to a match between Lana and Nia Jax. Lana goes to the top rope, headbutt from Nia. Nia climbs the corner and gets Lana on her shoulders. Lana slides down and tries for a powerbomb, but Nia won't let go of the ropes. So Lana kicks the leg, then stomps Nia down out of the corner and stacks Nia up for the 1, 2, 3. And Lana is shocked. Nia is shocked. And backstage, Shayna attacks Asuka from behind. In the ring, Nia does the same, attacking Lana, then rolling her into the middle of the ring and hitting a leg drop. Shayna runs down to join her partner. Nia steps on Lana's arm, then slaps Lana around as Shayna stomps on Lana's leg. Shayna removes the shin guard of Lana, then her boot, and pulls her foot back. Shayna holds the foot and Nia hits the ropes, and we get a leg drop onto the foot and leg of Lana. And then we get another leg drop from Nia. Then Asuka is finally here to save the day. She pulls Shayna out of the ring. She hits a code breaker to Nia, hip attack to Shayna, knee to Nia, and the heels finally leave and make their way out of the arena as Asuka checks on Lana.
So,
Lana caught the beats.
Hey, sometimes it happens. The face get a win. They get beat down for their troubles afterwards. So Miro is crediting Lana with the assist in that pin. He said he tore her that pin.
Oh God.
He said on Twitter, he said, I tore her that. I was like, okay, buddy. So Nia was on Nia.
You could take that, but we'll keep it.
Oh, exactly. Classic. Oh, exactly.
We'll keep exactly. It.
Listen, I was like, oh, okay. I said, all right. But Nia was on Instagram and she posted that. She says, I will be taking any further questions about this. And so Mickey James had said something about upside down Nia cake or something like that. And Nia had a response to it. It was just real funny. Hold on, let me see if I can
find it. Nia's really good with her Twitter game, man.
This is on Instagram though, so it was funny. I was laughing. here you go. She says, I would not be taking any questions regarding this matter. Shelton Benjamin says, Lana looks like me with my favorite pillow at 6 a.m. when my alarm goes off and I realize I don't have to be anywhere. man. It's a lot of the native bro can ask, you're super flexible. Can I ask a lot of stretching? Okay, Mickey James said, Nia upside down kick. I'll leave that with you.
I'm pretty sure.
Dustin Rhodes said, pretty flexible, Nia. Miss you, ladies. Yeah, a lot of people was just kind of just dropping their comments and everything.
I'm pretty sure Quintessential R got in on it too, but I don't know if it.
Oh no! Normally on Instagram, if it's somebody that you follow, their comments, how they have it set up, you'll see their comments first. But I mean, he did like it though. He's one of the 57,372 people that like the comment. So he's one of those.
I knew he wasn't too far around. I know he was snooping around a chicken coop when it comes to Nia. That's his boo.
Hey, you know, he see Nia, he's like
I like it. I want it.
He said, I like you and I want you.
We return from the break, and Elias, shout out to Miss Dee Dee Jonet, is in the middle of the ring. He introduces Jackson Ryker, who was standing next to him. Elias talks about his match with Jeff Hardy from a couple of weeks ago, the Symphony of Destruction, where all he saw was a blinding light. He says a voltage of that level would have ended an ordinary man, but he is not that. He was baptized by lightning, and he had visions of his purpose and of this man, a man that knows the universal truth. Ryker says Elias's music has changed him. He has been reborn. This man is a visionary, and he's been interrupted, disrespected, and attacked for far too long, and he is here to stop that. So R-Truth is here to interrupt. He doesn't want to interrupt. He just wants to apologize for interrupting on main event. Elias tries to inform Truth that he is currently interrupting him. Truth is silent, saying he doesn't want to interrupt. Elias starts playing his song. Truth sees that a bunch of the jobbers are coming for his title, so Truth runs out of the ring. We get some wrestling from those involved, but Ryker is there to toss the Zawa onto everyone, and then he power bombs Grand Metalik.
I told y'all this last week. Jackson Ryker's back. He's gonna be back on Raw, and that's where he showed up at.
How do you feel about him basically being security for Elias? Think that's a role that he can flourish in. They can flourish. They look like the Super Twins.
They do. I guess.
I wonder how much Dee Dee Jonet felt about that. To reach out.
I know she probably is not too happy with that. She'll probably be like, the hell is this racist motherfucker doing?
Yeah, corrupting her bae, Elias. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Elias has still got one of the best gimmicks in the WWE, man. I mean, he's on the roster. Him and R-Truth, they're on the roster. But I mean, how much physicality do they actually partake in? Not a lot.
Awesome. Right.
Ms. Morrison are backstage. They're talking strategy. Keith Lee comes over and says he has an idea. He has a coin. Miz calls heads. Lee exposes a head. And Lee says, congratulations. They both won, but that's the only thing they're going to win. So that leads us to Keith Lee versus The Miz and John Morrison. Keith Lee hits a clothesline to Miz, one for Morrison, a splash in the corner. Keith Lee then tosses John Morrison into The Miz. Keith Lee then lifts Morrison, swings him into The Miz, then goes for the spirit bomb. But Morrison hops off the ropes. We get a kick to Keith Lee. We get a chop block from The Miz, another kick from John Morrison. They both mount Keith Lee. Both men cover Keith Lee, and he gets a pin. 1, 2, 3. That parkour shit that John Morrison did to get out of the spirit bomb, that shit was hot. It was fast and it was hot. I had to watch it on YouTube to like be like, how he do that?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, good use of your skills there, John Morrison.
Yeah. If we can get more of that, him doing some good shit like that, then we probably care more about him instead of just seeing him in this,
you know what we got denied during this whole time? John Morrison versus Seth Rollins.
Right.
Man, do you know how good that could have been? In like a major program with some time and a pay-per-view match that goes like 20 minutes? Because I think the best match that he actually had while he's been back was that night he wrestled Montez Ford. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it was like they had a really good match, but you could tell that they hadn't wrestled each other before, so they were trying to figure out the chemistry in the ring. And I was like, man, if they could have like a few weeks to do this show on the house shows and then come back to TV with it, I was like, this would be dope because, you know, they're so athletic. The two exactly. They can make some great magic. So I know that John Morrison and Seth Rollins could have had a hell of a match that people would be talking about. But we never got there because he never got out of this role of being the Miz's flunky. So how do you feel about Keith Lee, man, the way they've been booking him lately? You can tell that, you know, that's the only thing I don't like about WWE, man, is you come in and you come in at the very top. And then after that first month or 2 months or however long they deem that you're worthy, then they fizzle you all the way back down instead of having you start at the bottom and then work your way for 2 or 3 months up through the top. So now, you know, it was all good when he made his debut. He got the big feud with Randy Orton. They kind of put him in the mix there with Drew and Randy Orton as kind of, you know, third member of that program. But now he's down here messing around with The Miz and John Morrison at handicap matches and getting sent to Performance Center on Tuesdays and Thursdays for finishing school. It just seems like, you know, the bloom is off the rose of Keith Lee.
That's what we're seeing. They was talking about, I was reading, they was talking about, you know, this is supposed to be a push for him, so to speak. So I don't know where this is going, what this be leading up to, but I'm hoping it leads up to something. I hope it leads up to something, you know, something big for him and something that they can, I guess, can finally get him over Vince's eyes, because Vince is just like very finicky with what he wants his wrestling to be.
Mm-hmm. You know how old people get, man.
Right.
We return from the break. Out comes Bray Wyatt in a Christmas sweater. His friends are ringside behind the barricade, lapping it up. Bray grabs the mic. He says hello to us all, saying it's nice to see our smiling faces. Bray apologizes to Randy Orton. He says he thinks it's all some giant misunderstanding. He says sometimes he has a sick and twisted mind of his own. He wants to finish what was started. And this Sunday, after Orton takes on him at TLC, he's not sure what will be left of Orton. There will be no fun and games come TLC, just sadness and pain. Bray Wyatt has some jokes. Orton is then on the Titantron. He says he's had enough. The Fiend gave him a chance to stare at him face to face. After Orton RKO'd Wyatt, something changed and he appeared. For the first time in a long time, Orton was outmaneuvered, not by Bray, but by him. Orton knows how much Wyatt loves to play a game, and he can't help himself to do so. So he thinks that Wyatt should extend his field trip and pay Orton a visit. Tonight, they should play a game of hide and seek. Bray laughs heartily in the ring. He says he can't resist the game. He accepts. Orton tells him to come find him. Bray says he will find Orton. He sings it even and says, let the games begin. So somebody sat down at their house and said, this is the go home episode, and one of our big matches is going to be The Fiend versus Randy Orton. Okay. So what are we going to do with those guys this week? I got it. We'll have them play a game of hide and seek throughout the whole second half of the show. That'll put ratings up.
Right.
What is going on here? Ricochet versus Mace. Ricochet with a standing shooting star press and a pin for a two count. Ali Mustafa Ali, who was at commentary, demands Slapjack go and attack Ricochet. Ricochet bounces off the ropes and kicks him. T-Bar gets sent to the apron, and Ricochet sends him flying. Mace is waiting. He hits a sit-out powerbomb in the cover for a two count. Ali yells at Mace, telling him to shut him down. Then Mace hits some type of sidewalk slam, covers Ricochet, and gets the pin. 1, 2, 3. Retribution enters the ring. They all circle Ricochet. Ali says this ends when Ricochet joins Retribution. Then T-Bar sends Ricochet into the mat face first and screams at him some more.
That's what they want. They want the Light Skin Coalition.
Oh, God.
They should have bring up to the Light Skin Coalition. I'm telling you, bro.
Okay. I got nothing to add to that at all.
Oh man.
I'm just it's just an unfortunate situation for Ricochet right now. He is stuck in limbo. This seems like forever ago when this happened. But ever since that Sunday Night Heat, it's been downhill for Ricochet. Y'all remember that back in February, Super Bowl night? Him and Aleister Black took on, it was a tag team match. I want to say it was an NXT tag team match for the titles. I forgot who they...
Last year?
Yeah, it was actually this year, but it seems like last year.
That couldn't have been this year for Super Bowl.
Yeah, wasn't the halftime heat for this year's Super Bowl?
That was
2018.
That was 2019, right?
If it was 2019, that would be last year. But it seems like it was so long ago. It was in February. I know.
Yeah, I'm just. But they didn't have one this year. Whatever. But I mean, I remember watching it because
it was 2018.
No, I remember watching it. I was over at a Super Bowl party watching the halftime show on my phone because everybody was like, what you looking at? I said, oh, some NXT thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we don't have Al Gore's internet right here at our hands at all times. So as we move on to the next little segment, I'll look this up and see what we had. Bray Wyatt is backstage. He sees Matt Riddle. Riddle called. Yeah, right here, February 6, 2019.
Yeah, that was last year. Last year.
Okay. I knew it was, I knew it was recent. Bray Wyatt is backstage. He sees Matt Riddle. He says hi. Riddle calls him bro. Wyatt says it's Bray. Riddle says the future is bro now. And has a whiteboard to expose it. He thinks a lesson on bronouns on the Firefly Funhouse would be a great addition. You know that this had to be Bruce Pritchard, right?
Pronouns, definitely. Yes.
Bray Wyatt says he's busy, but good luck. Riddle says, all right. Ramblin' Rabbit is here. Riddle says he reminds him of Baby Yoda. He will now call Ramblin' Rabbit Baby Broda. Riddle wants an autograph on a carrot for his baby rabbit at home. That Bruce Pritchard pronouns, pal. That's the reason why I always, when I do these notes, try to put as the names of the people in it as many times as possible and not use he or she. Who are you talking about? Pronouns, pal. We are informed that Lana will not be able to compete this Sunday, and now Asuka will be teaming with a mystery partner as we see Lana get stretchered out of the arena. So that leads us to Dana Brooke versus Shayna Baszler. Shayna wrestles the corner with a knee strike, but Dana moves springboard elbow right into the Karafuta clutch. Back elbow from Dana, she rolls out of the Karafuta clutch. She lands it into Guri and a clothesline to Shayna. Dana goes to the top rope, and Nia shoves her off the top rope for the disqualification. Nia and Shayna are on the attack, but Mandy Rose is back with all this leather and these platforms on, and she also's got a kendo stick. She smacks Nia over and over with the kendo stick until Shayna comes in to kick her and takes the kendo stick. Asuka is here. Kick from Asuka. kick from Mandy, running knee to Nia in the corner, and they send Shayna and Nia up the ramp as Asuka and Mandy help Dana Brooke up. Dana Brooke could be hurt too, because when she landed, she looked like she hurt her arm too when she got tossed off of the turnbuckle by Nia. It's not her fault that she was just
end up injured
by her doing simple stuff. I mean, all she did was throw Mandy Rose out of the ring. Mandy Rose got hurt. All she did was push Dana Brooke off of the top rope. And then all you see in the whole time is like Dana Brooke holding her arm like, oh, no. Yeah, Mandy Rose beating people up in these platform shoes, though. It's a revelation.
Oh.
You're far less excited about Mandy Rose than I am.
I mean, it's good to see Mandy Rose back, but I'm just...
We know. It's not Sonya Deville. I know.
Right. It's not... Right. It's not her. And, you know...
I don't know. So it'd be about time for Daddy DeVille to make her way back into the.
Well, they're still dealing with the trial thing and everything. So.
She might miss this whole year. Then the rest of this year, it might be 2021 before we see her again. Okay, maybe Royal Rumble though. She'll slide on through.
Right.
Backstage, R-Truth says he was able to get the PS6. We don't know who he's talking to. He says his nephew got detention for excessive loitering. He wants to make his nephew happy. What do you think? Truth is talking to Huskus. So in comes Bray. Bray tells the pig not to talk to strangers. Truth asks Bray if the pig is Bray's son. He says, what a beautiful family. Bray says he's looking for Orton. He finds an open door and looks inside to see a rocking chair rocking. He enters the room and stares at the chair. Then he takes a seat because, of course, the Wyatt family, rocking chairs. Bray Wyatt. Bray starts breathing heavily. Orton is behind him. And, of course, Orton attacks. Orton beats down on Wyatt over and over, then sends him crashing into a nearby box. Orton with an uppercut. He opens the box. Bray hits him with a right hand. Orton sends Bray into a door, then puts him into the box. Orton stomps Bray over and over, then slams the box shut. Orton grabs a gas can and pours the gas onto the box, and Orton lights the box on fire. But the Fiend bursts through the burning box to apply the mandible claw to Randy Orton, slamming him into that same door, and then the Fiend chokes Randy Orton out as we go to commercial.
I was like, the Fiend is killing Randy Orton on live TV.
Well, I mean, Randy Orton just committed murder and arson on live TV. So I mean, you know, tit for tat.
No, what made me laugh was R-Truth asking, was that his son? And I was rolling. I said that was a bright spot of this show, was R-Truth asking was Huskus his son.
So I mean, this is your go home segment for Bray versus Randy Orton. Did it raise up more interest for you?
I mean, it did. I mean, I was wondering how it was going to play out, and then all of a sudden, you see the Fiend comes out. The Fiend come out, and he just starts choking Randy. I was like, oh. I said, ooh, we're witnessing a murder on live TV. Well, two back-to-back.
MVP versus Matt Riddle.
Been antagonizing Byron MVP over the last few weeks. He's pitched him a lot of great ideas. Release the flops, baby. You call it antagonizing. I say it's just Riddle being Riddle, Tom. You know, he's hard to read at times, but and I think missing Riddle meant no harm. Went for a knee strike out of the gates, and MVP looking to pick up where the Herpes left off. Earlier on tonight, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, and the United States champion Bobby Lashley earned a six-man tag team champ match victory, rather, against the Raw Tag Team Champions The New Day and Jeff Hardy.
MVP has promised to teach Riddle some respect here tonight.
Oh, don't forget, still to come tonight, the WWE Championship Ascension Ceremony. Drew McIntyre, the WWE Champion, and AJ Styles will meet face-to-face to finally raise the title before Sunday. And now Riddle calls out the final flash knee strike.
One thing you can ill afford to do is to sleep on Riddle now, who is ready to take
it. Floating pro cover. Riddle is beating MVP.
Here's your winner, Riddle.
Can you believe that, Tom?
I believe it. This is going.
United States champion Bobby Lashley down to the ring.
Got the bro nuts.
Riddle wisely getting out of Dodge before Lashley could attack.
That's a delicious bro nuts after a sweet victory.
Sugary celebration for Riddle.
Maybe Bobby Lashley likes the bro nuts.
Riddle gets the better of MVP and the Hurt Business tonight live on Raw.
They ain't been doing my man MVP right ever since, you know, he brought that new, spent his own money for that new United States title and his little feud with Apollo Crews. They ain't been treating my man right. Final segment of the night, Tom Phillips introduces AJ and Drew. AJ cuts a little promo saying he will tell the world that he and Drew have never faced each other, never in a one-on-one match, so he did a little studying. You felt that it took Drew 19 years to get to the top and be the champ. How is this possible? How did it take 19 years? Well, we saw it when he lost to Orton at Hell in a Cell. AJ doesn't think Drew can handle the pressure. That's what got to him. Yes, Drew beat Orton and got his title back, but it changed Drew. He's making mistakes, taking risks. He's a champion. Why would he risk it? When is the last time Drew volunteered for a TLC match? AJ doesn't think Drew has even ever been in a TLC match. Which, of course, he hasn't. So Drew's turn to talk, of course. Drew says that this was quite the compelling. Oh, AJ, on the other hand, says that he has defended the title at TLC and he won. He knows what it takes to be a champion. If he's got to take every table, ladder, and chair and break them all across Drew's back, he will do just that. Kiss that title goodbye. It's going to look phenomenal around AJ's waist. Drew says that this was quite the compelling speech. He'd like to present some facts. They have never wrestled, and this is a match that he has always wanted. Fans ask him for years, wondering when this match would go down, and the answer is this Sunday. Their match is a TLC match, and Drew's never been in one. Drew has thought his goal was just to become the champion, but he understands now that his goal is to remain the champion. One thing to get to the top, but a whole other thing to stay at the top. Who is Drew? AJ did the research. He should know. Drew will tell AJ he is the champion that led WWE through uncharted waters throughout 2020. He does not crack under pressure. He thrives. He is a diamond, and that journey that AJ talks about, that made Drew this way. He will tear AJ apart this Sunday. He says every man dies, but not every man truly lives. This Sunday, he will do whatever it takes to remain a WWE champion. Drew hands over the title and they put it on the hook and they raise it to the top of the Thunderdome. AJ says it sounds like Drew's got it all together. Good for him. Music plays and AJ wonders if it's not just AJ Drew has to face this Sunday. Out come the Miz and Morrison to attack Drew. They smack Drew with the ladder, then attack Drew. Miz and Morrison corner Drew with stomps and right hands. AJ backs them up, barking orders. AJ kicks Drew. Then Miz continues the onslaught. Drew then sends AJ to the outside of the ring. Claymore to the Miz. Claymore to the ladder takes out John Morrison. You get a right hand to AJ. Drew grabs the ladder and tosses it out of the ring. Drew is about to Claymore AJ, but that's when tall Bruce Leroy tosses in the ring steps. AJ clips the distracted Drew McIntyre on the back of the knee. The phenomenal forearm to Drew. AJ then stomps Drew out, then calls for a ladder. Tall Bruce Leroy sends the ladder into the ring. Drew stands up in the corner. AJ attacks Drew with the ladder, hitting him in the stomach, then in the head. AJ drops the ladder on the back of Drew. He asks for a chair. Tall Bruce Leroy sends a chair in. AJ smacks Drew over the back a few times with the chair. AJ sets up the ladder in the corner and sends Drew into the ladder. Omos sets up the table on the outside as AJ slides the ladder into the ring. Omos sends the table into the ring. AJ sends Drew through the table with an elbow drop off the ladder, and he climbs back up the ladder and grabs the title, and that is how your Monday Night Raw ends.
We crawl to the finish line, folks.
Oh, man. That was a chore right there, man. Those 3 hours were... luckily, that football game was really good in the late third and fourth quarter. And the clicker hand kept going back and forth because that's the only way I was making it through. I started hitting bobblehead around the hour and a half mark. Like, oh, I got to do something different. So I was like, let me check out this football game. And the football game was pretty exciting. I was like, okay, it got me back up and rejuvenated to make it through the rest of Monday Night Raw. But yeah, man, they've been... they got to step it up going into Royal Rumble on Monday Night Raw side. I mean, SmackDown is great. It goes by so fast. It's so quick. It moves fast. The stories are succinct. And, you know, they don't have too many throwaway pieces of business. But, man, Raw's got a lot. I mean, this whole Matt Riddle backstage shit, that's throwaway. Bray Wyatt playing hide and seek with Randy Orton, that's throwaway. You know, Retribution in my eyes trying to get Ricochet to join, that's throwaway. It's like nobody really cares about that. Jackson Riker and Elias, that's throwaway. It's like, good gosh, how many just segments can you have on one show that nobody really cares about?
Exactly.
And you know, it doesn't help that I just came off of like a straight month of watching New Japan, and it got really good towards like the second half of that thing too. So, you know, my tolerance for lackluster wrestling is very low right now.
Let's see what happens. You get good product, you come back and watch the other stuff, you're like, what are we doing?
Right. Exactly. Before I turn it over to Mosa underscore Reese for shout outs and thank yous, just a reminder, this Sunday, TLC, use the hashtag NoScrubsCast to share your commentary with color on Tables, Ladders, and Chairs this Sunday night starting at 7 p.m. Hope to see everyone in the hashtag sharing their commentary with color. Okay, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, for your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout outs to you, Dawn. Shout out to our WrestleCast family, Miss Semi holding down Wednesday nights on the NXT cast. Jade to the Ms. X on SmackDown Matters. Shout out to Anwar Stormwind, Terry's boy with the cast of Strong Style reviews. Shout out to Word Exclaimed, Roll Up Sunny. Miss Cammy D, Queen Malmendi, Jubilee Julep, our Wrestle Bays, the Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of WrestleCast, Mel, because she always gets shout outs, Classic, Greg, Sam. I just want to shout out Binky, because Binky had. Her and Bailey had the best segment on SmackDown. I meant to mention this in the dark match. But that segment was excellent. She just came up and was like, "Girl, uh-uh." It had the receipts on it too. Bailey had hit her on social media and was like, "I got receipts too," and showed her all the titles and everything that she won. So.
Two have very good out of the ring chemistry. Hopefully their in ring chemistry is just as good, because yes, their interactions on social media and on television has been golden.
It definitely was golden. Shout out to, you know, everyone that joins us in the live tweets. Like I said, Monday nights, without Monday night, without the hashtag, the Rawcast hashtag, Monday Night Raw would definitely be getting hardly watched, because like we live tweet and we get our commentary with color, you know, pun intended, and we just do what we have to do to get through the show. So definitely thanks for all you checking us out and listening. And that's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mo, to the underscore Reese once again for joining me here on the Rawcast. Definitely give a shout out to you. I give a shout out to everybody here on the CSPN, all the podcasters. Actually, you forgot to shout out your second show, son. The Push.
Yeah.
Give a shout out to all of those guys. Mo to
so the hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Benny and everybody over there.
Hold on real quick. So we did an episode recording on Friday. Oh man, so I had to check out because something had happened with my phone. It was doing the little ring, the endless ring circle, and I was just trying to see what was wrong. It wasn't my reset options wasn't working, and then I had to try to cut out that show early. So you'll get me probably like 80-85% of that show, and then next thing you know, I don't know what happened afterwards. They're probably like, what happened to Mo? And then when I came back, I was like, my phone was acting up, so I couldn't finish the show. So,
yeah, check it out. It's very spirited. Technology. From the very beginning of the show, there is a lot of trash talking and shit talking going on. So, yes, you will definitely appreciate that if you like to hear, you know, the latest news and commentary about the latest news in pro wrestling. They definitely addressed the Keith Lee news. It was very fresh when they recorded it. So, yes, there's a lot of hot takes to be had on the Keith Lee situation from the guys over at The Push. But give a shout out to all those guys, Mo to the underscore Reese included. Shout out to DD, shout out to Jay, shout out to Greg, shout out to Sam, shout out to Miss Simi and the Dark Match. Check us out over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media, where me and Miss Simi review AEW Dynamite each and every week. Also, by becoming a patron, you'll get to hear candid conversations between myself and all of my co-hosts here on the WrestleCast Network. So, Anwar Starwin, Terry's Boy, Mo to the underscore Reese, Miss Simi, sometimes J to the Max as well. J to the Max.
We be talking.
Yeah, J to the Max, not so much because she's just waking up. So, you know, West Coast time. So we just kind of hit it and quit it when we do SmackDown Matters. I try not to tend to do too much with her.
Get her in and out.
right, because she's doing me a huge favor waking up at 8 o'clock on a Sunday. But yes, go check out the Dark Match and the other commentary over on the Patreon page. Again, patreon.com/CSPN. Also support the podcast and the CSPN network by going to the website, cspn.us. Click on the tab that says Keep the Podcast Free. Do some shopping with some of our sponsors to help keep all the shows on the network free each and every week. This Sunday, we will be live tweeting #NoScrubsCast. Hope to see you there.
So you don't want no scrubs.
So for my co-host, Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been The Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
AJ, tonight you wrapped up Monday Night Raw with the WWE Championship title above your head. Is this a preview of what we'll see this Sunday at TLC?
Of course it is a preview. Are you kidding me? Drew McIntyre has no idea what he's gotten himself into. I have been in one TLC match, I have to admit, and I was triumphant. I was the best. In fact, I'd say I was phenomenal. I defended my WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre, he won't do the same. Like I said before, he folds under pressure. I studied him like a book. He folds under pressure. 19 years to get to the top. One night for AJ Styles to be the WWE Champion. Sounded pretty good, didn't it, almost?
Like I said. Best of luck this weekend. We'll be right back.